Bang up. Term, the banging of doors, the locking of the ward for the night. Bang up. Doors slam one after the other. There's still unrest. Voices calling out between the doors, muffled. You can hear the nervousness.
Yo, killer P got caught. Yo, killer P got caught. Who the cutter then? I think Donnie was in there. Oh, gee. 4, 6.
But in the collected, almost liquid shadows in the corner of cell B664, it seems quiet. The words and the screams just fragments of a world that doesn't really concern you. What concerns you is sitting right there on the bunk, with his head slumped, scratching his head, curly hair pointing in all directions. A handsome face, but pockmarked. Deeper crevasses of wrinkles than there should be in the 30-something face. It's in the training fatigues of all the prisoners. Just something that he threw into a duffel bag when he got here. He doesn't seem affected by the noise. Sure, he looks up at the door, but he frowns, alone in his cell. Except for you. Except for you and all that wetness inside him. You probably haven't been seen, even though he could just look over and see you 3 feet away. He hums a little, cleans his nails with his finger. Steps up, paces back and forth in the cell. Somewhere a door bangs.
We need more blood! Down in the bedroom now! Now, where the fuck is the nurse? Don't sleep! Call the night nurse!
He's at the window now, looking up. His broad back to you. Just a little sliver of daylight left. 7 o'clock. Bang up time. How long can you stay here? How long can you be unseen?
First, I try to calm down. I need to wait. And I am so hungry that I need to wait because soon he will fall asleep. And then I can take what I need without being noticed, without any risk. And then if I just can wait, I can get through the night and then I can slip out when the doors open again. It has to be like this. I just need to focus. And I can't think about Paul. I can't think about Francis. I can't think about him. Because I just want to rip him up. No, stop. Alice, stop. I'm just going to sit here. And I'm going to wait. I need to wait. Jesus Christ. Fuck.
Scooched down in the corner, you wait. It is hard filling your head with anything but exactly the things that you need to avoid. Your body is almost vibrating. It is empty. It shakes a little bit. It's rare, this intimate physical sensation of losing control of your body. How long will it take until you lose control of the shadows around you, of his attention, still placed on the walls, still placed on the little letter he unfolds, looking lovingly at childish sentences written in red crayon over a folded pink sheet. He sniffles a little bit.
Jesus fuck.
Swallows tears. Then exhales and throws the letter on the bed, and he slaps down on the ground and starts doing push-ups. His sweat, so musky and thick, beads of moisture start to form on his head, on his face, and it's almost impossible to resist.
Yeah, I'm starting to fantasize about making him faint. Because that's like sleeping, right? Like, he won't see me, so if I just put my arm around his neck and I squeeze a bit so he just loses consciousness,
yes.
And then I could just take him.
Yes. That's just like sleeping, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's just like sleeping.
I wouldn't take much. I just need to be, not this. Fuck.
So do you do it? Do you take him?
Oh, God. I don't know. It's not wise. It's not right. But I could. I'm strong enough. I could.
You could. And the idea and the moral justification has already been made. A current willpower plus humanity roll, please.
5, 6. Oh, I got 3 tens. So 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 11. Successes.
It would be almost like sleeping, but not quite. Right?
Right. Fuck no. Yeah.
You stay there. How long can he go on? But you're there, and you're still you.
To kind of push down the beast that wants to break through and just devour him, and oh, fuck. I want to kind of see what I can just... I play a game with myself to kind of keep focused. And I what can I find out without moving, just watching him? Can I see the letter? Can I get something? Like, he's clearly in distress. What else can I kind of realize about him without moving?
The cell is pretty well cleaned. He has his letters in a box that goes under the bed. That's smart. But he's alone in the cell. The upper bunk doesn't even have a mattress. Why is he alone in the cell? Why would it be a problem to put a cellmate here in with him? Something is off. Bang up! Donnie makes it through the door just a few seconds before the screws shut the door and close it. He keeps both his fists balled, rock hard. He's breathing heavily, as if he just ran half a mile, and turns to you, Francis.
I went back to sit on my bunk soon as I realized that there was nothing I could do. I heard sounds of conflict, but it was all too late. I had been thinking to myself that maybe if I'd found an object and thrown it and made some noise, I don't know, maybe I could have helped Paul, but no, it's too late now. But as I'm sitting there and I see Donnie come back in, I put two and two together quite quickly. I sort of smirk openly and say, "Well, you're a tough one. That copper could have had you,
Yeah, but it didn't hurt me, huh? We hurt him.
You did. That got you points. Was it your idea, the others? I'm curious. Don't worry, I'm not a snitch.
That right there. Those are dangerous questions, my friend. We're going to be in here together, you and I, for a really long time, yeah?
Yes, I know. I'm concerned about my own well-being. I'm not a snitch, but how do I have...
Yeah, and that is why I want to say this, and as clearly as I can, if you speak a word about this, about my presence in that cell, to anyone at all, especially the screws, then I would really, really consider not sleeping. Okay? We got that clear? Huh? As long as you keep quiet, I'll keep my urges in check, yeah?
Whilst internally, all this time, I've actually been quite worried about my current situation. When it comes to an individual like Dolly, I'm not afraid of him. I can already tell. A coward. A weak man. He wouldn't have done this by himself. So I actually smirk quite confidently and say, Donnie, why the fuck would I want to have you attack me in the night? Of course I'm not going to tell anyone, but less of the threats, yes? You sleep as well sometimes. I am a doctor, you know. Maybe I did do the malpractice, eh?
He exhales sharply and his eyes turn to slits. Blue eyes looking at you. Judging you. Looking up and down. Slow wheels turning inside the thick skull. A intimidation plus intelligence, please.
Could I perhaps use subterfuge instead?
Yes, you can. You can.
As I imagine, it's less me being intimidating and more me flat out lying that I would be able to do something to him. Although, admittedly, I do hate his guts. Four successes. I could re-roll. Is that enough?
Your hate is somehow balled up in the calm delivery. But he understands. There is something in his posture that changes then. A subtle shifting of the feet, exhalation, and the shoulders drop slightly backwards. We win this together, mate. He walks past you and slaps you hard on the shoulder and jumps up on the top bunk. Yeah, no reason for us to have a bad time, though, huh?
No. Again, we're all good. Like I said, just doing my time. But I'm just impressed, if I'm honest. Like I said, people said he was hot stuff. I guess he wasn't. But were you just getting him because he was a copper? Is there another reason?
Yeah, what? One thing. You know this story about these monsters, you know, these humongous guys that come into prison and like, they're like built like tanks. Yeah, there's one down on A block right now. Slovenian guy, he's huge as a truck. I saw him take on three guys, just three little guys, just ordinary dudes. You know what? They banged him up good. All that a hard man can take several, that's Hollywood movie stuff, yeah. And here, numbers rule. We were four, he was one, doesn't matter how hard he is. It's as simple as that, I'm sorry.
You need to apologize. I'm impressed.
Simple mathematics, huh?
I'm impressed. Just, I suppose, be careful, though. Stuff I heard, he comes out again. But then again, maybe it's all just fucking hearsay, you know?
Dr. Ward?
Yes?
Um, 22 Ward?
Yes, here!
The hatch opens and a short screw, broad gray hair, eyes moving, the bit in a panic, big mustachio covering a full set of lips.
You're needed in the medical unit, sir. It says right here on your sheet that you have medical skills and you have been pre-approved for the medical unit. So if you would just be kind to come here, step away from the door, please.
I stand up slowly, and despite greatly hating Donnie, again, I need to at least buy myself something with him for my own safety. I say, looking at him and looking at the screw, I have to do this. I'm not entirely sure. Am I still a doctor? I thought I was under arrest.
Officially, your work doesn't really start until next week. I'm fully aware of this. But we have a problem. We have two people simultaneously in the ward, and one has cutting injuries and the other quite severe broken limbs from a fall onto the suicide netting and accidentally stabbing himself with a sharp object. So, and we can't really deal with the both of them. The bloke who was stabbed, he really needs blood badly. So if you would be so kind as to assist this way. Do I need to go in?
He's still standing on the outside of the door. The door is open and he motions you out. There's two other larger screws in the back.
I make a show of sighing heavily, looking at Donnie, and then I suppose I don't have a choice. Do I, Donnie, eh?
Yeah, he looks up into the ceiling and like... Yeah, he rolls his eyes.
Of course, secretly, I'm actually quite relieved. I might actually be able to treat Richards. I was worried I wouldn't be able to do that. And so I follow, again, yawning, making a show that I'm actually disinterested in helping, but really, don't want to be in this bloody cell anymore with this bastard.
Moving along the landing alone with the screws is a bit of a surreal experience. Every time the cells are open, there's so much noise and so much motion out here. Now, nothing. Only the impotent, muffled screams and bangings from some cells somewhere. The screws take you to the middle of the radial, through the star, by the way of a couple of locked doors, out into a long corridor that is its sides covered with cork boards and doorways that leads to cleaning closets and similar things. There's a signage saying chapel and med unit halfway down. They rush you along, but make no effort to put you in handcuffs or anything like that. Three of them paying close attention to you is deemed enough, and somehow you're considered a trusted enough prisoner to work in the medical unit, so it's got to come for something. You approach the last couple of doors as somebody buses you in. There's banging, slamming, and then you can hear the screams. It's not Richards. Thank God. It's that other guy, the punk who fell on the landing. He's screaming loudly as you come into the medical unit. The main room is long, with three or four doors, two of them open, into separate care rooms. On the other side of the hallway, there's plenty of closets for medical equipment and so on, some of which has been wheeled into the Spartan room, just filled with four beds and not much more. But now also with a confused nurse, two screws, and a screaming, bloody, thin man screaming his arms out while screws are holding him down while the nurse tries to set his leg. Richards is lying alone on one of the other beds. His wounds have been just cleaned, his shirt cut open, so the cuts can be seen. There's blood-soaked tissue all over his stomach, trying to stop the worst of the bleeding. He doesn't look in absolutely critical condition, but his wounds have not been sewn up. He does not have an IV with blood or blood plasma. He is in a danger of internal bleeding and a whole host of other complication conditions if he does not get treated soon.
My eyes go between Richards and this inmate. I look around the room as well. It's just a nurse. I openly say, where's the doctor? You have a doctor normally on staff, don't you?
She looks over her shoulder. Pale blonde hair, a little stub nose, high cheekbones, very fair complexion, maybe 25.
Yeah, he's in tomorrow. Yeah, I try to reach him. Not possible. Other nurses out. You're a trusted inmate, yes? Right there. Blood is in the cabinet over there. Marked 4. Okay?
I sigh and head over to the blood cabinet. I take out the necessary equipment and then I go to the screaming man, after all. Unfortunately, he is a priority patient, and I can't show favoritism to Richards just yet. I look down at him, not at all caring about his screaming or even who he is, but I will examine him. Let's see, what does he need?
Yeah, it's not at all sure that he needs blood. From the cuts on Richard, it's more likely that he does. This guy, yes, he does have a quite nasty knife wound in his leg. Weird angle, like he sat down on a knife rather than being cut by it. But it's not into the aorta, and it's not really threatening. No more than half an inch deep either.
Why is it this man sedated? You have anesthesia? Yes, sedate the man. He's in agony.
Two of the screws are holding him down while the nurse is holding the leg.
Yeah.
She's picking up a syringe from a metal table and jamming it into the side of his neck. And he goes a little more quiet. The desperate screams turning more to muffled gurgles.
Good. With that, I turn to Richards and begin hooking up the correct blood transfusion units.
Yeah, he should have plasma. To go back to the closet, yeah, roll out the metal scaffolding to put the plasma bag on, and then you see that there's no plasma. Oh. There's only blood in the bags. That's not fantastically common.
This...
See, don't take the bags on the left. They're the failed ones, okay? Take the approved ones. They're on the right. On the two rightmost shelves, okay? Don't mix them up with the ones on the left. There should be black crosses on the failed bags, okay?
Why do you have separate bags?
Some of them have drugs and shit in them, of course.
I take a moment as I go over to the correct bags. Just to look at the bag I was holding and then compare it to the different one I'm getting.
Yeah, the one you took has, yes, it has a marker X on the printed label. The label is marked 524, C524/12, Bartholomew. Huh. Yeah, they have local blood supply, at least. This must be from the prisoners.
I make a mental note of the name Bartholomew. Do I think the number before that is the prisoner number or it's something else?
Yeah. Yeah, it's probably cell and prisoner number.
Cell and prisoner number, Bartholomew. Interesting. I quickly then get the correct blood, apparently, and that I rush over to Paul. Checking his condition, is he conscious?
He's barely conscious. Paul, the pain comes in waves. It's really hard to discipline your breathing. Pain is everywhere. You sink in and out of like a mellow, dark, soft sleep and sharp, jagged wakefulness. You see Francis' face. This must be the dream. But he's there looking at you, with standing with a blood bag in his hands. This must be some sort of symbolic dream or something. But he's right there. Do you say something?
Forgive me, Father. I've sinned. I used what was given to me in egotistical defense.
I wrinkle my nose as I hear some of this muttering, but perhaps not all of it. As I'm attaching the needle to his arm, I lean in just for a second and whisper, "God forgives all sins, Paul." Sleep, sleep, sleep. Don't move.
Thank you. Thank you.
The IV is hooked up. He's getting blood for what is lost, some of which is spread on the floor under the bed.
What's the rest of his condition? The wound's been cleaned, the knife obviously not, there's no debris, it's just a case now of blood and time. Stitches, that sort of thing.
Stitches most of all. Ah. Shit. You look at his belly and torso. Shit, there must be more than 24 cuts. Most of them are surface. Looks like he managed to squirm away out of most of them. But at least 4 or 5 have gone deep, making some major tissue damage. It's going to take a while to recuperate, but he's been lucky. He's been dead lucky. Nothing vital's been hit.
Yes, just a little higher or a little lower there. Luck is on his side, although I don't know how lucky this is. Nurse! I require more stitching here. This is shoddy work. Come on, quickly.
She steps up from her preliminary care for the inmate's broken leg and turns over to you. She takes out the curved needles and sewing equipment. Thank you for the assistance. It's damn hard getting people for this shift. Damn hard getting people this job, period.
What did you...
You know?
What error did you make to end up here?
No error. This might sound stupid, but... I mean, somebody's got to help these people, right? Somebody's got to help you people, right? Because you're people. Huh? I guess I have a too good upbringing or something. Actually turned down a job at the hospital for this, believe it or not.
I do find that hard to believe, but I guess you're just a good person. I personally wouldn't classify some of the people in here as people. Anyway, keep your eye on the stitching. That's better. Focus on the torso there. And I do my best to make Paul comfortable.
She bites down her sharp words that she surely has in store for you, frowning instead and concentrating on the work. Funny, the bleeding is really subsiding fast.
I guess he really didn't even hit a major artery. That is actually extremely lucky.
Yes, really not lucky. Really, really lucky. I mean, there was a lot of... Yep. Yeah, that should do it. Yeah, lucky.
I frown a little to myself then, and I step away, going back to the man with the broken leg. As I go to him and look at that leg wound, I remark to one of the screws, "What caused this wound here? Did he get it when he fell?"
Yeah, funniest thing then. It's the screw with the mustache on. You also, I'm coming out of that kill box that is set up for this mate here. And then he just like fucking flings himself off the side of the railing and goes BAM down on the suicide netting.
And in his hand he has this bloody big crucifix or something. So he got it stuck near his ass, you see. Yeah, that's where that poke come from. Yeah. Yeah, don't really know what he was doing up there on the landing. Looked more like... I mean, fuck me, but it did look like he was pushed more than anything else.
Oh, I see. A crucifix? Is that... Where's that? Isn't that contraband? Have you confiscated it?
It is contraband.
Well, I guess when he wakes up, he's going to be a little spot of trouble, assaulting another inmate and carrying contraband.
Yes, don't you mind that, 374 Warrior.
Oh, I'm sorry. Believe it or not, I used to understand how your line of work worked, but never mind, never mind. I look down at the man. To be perfectly honest, I don't really care if he's comfortable or well. I do the bare minimum for him. Make sure he's not going to die.
As you work with your back turned to Paul, the blood from the bag dribbles, drop by drop, into his veins. And in there, he falls into a deeper slumber. You're with your family, Paul. It's a Saturday, you think. Somewhere in the afternoon, you're waiting outside of a sports complex in your car. Who of your family are in there? Who are you waiting for out there?
Well, it's going to be Sloan and John, of course. They're my prime baseballers. And Philip is in the car, though he asked to stay home. He is looking into a magazine with these figures of war, whatever they're actually called. Is it just a normal car, so we won't have everyone with us?
No, not everyone today. It's it is a big car, though. All of the family's cars have at least 6 seats.
Yeah, and I look down at my phone. I see the latest message from Sarah. It's so nice that we started getting along again. She's at the mall with Sienna and Judy. And then the small ones are... Well, they're with my wife.
It's one of those moments... It feels like it's meaningful somehow. You hold on to it. You being the dutiful father, waiting for your boys to come out. And there they are, smiling, waving at you.
I feel pride. They really are dedicated. Even when I can't come to see them game. Well, I think Sophia was going to come today and film it for me. Can't wait to see it, but first I want to hear it from them. What happened? Who scored what? Who was the fastest runner? I know they're going to compete for attention, and I look forward to it.
It's comforting hearing them blabber, talking over each other enthusiastically, but somehow... The moment has gone, and you know it's not real. You know that somehow you feel that there's no baseball practice for them anymore. And Sarah's definitely not at the mall with Sienna. She's sitting on a train, looking out. Rain is hammering. She's crying. She has a small book. She turns the page and writes, "Hi, Dad. I think this is the 50th letter I write to you. I don't know if I'm going to send this one. But I want you to know that I miss you. I can't tell Mom. She won't let me mention your name.
but I miss you. Damn. Dad, hold on.
Slowly, gently, my heart breaks.
He's been training for almost an hour now, maybe more. But now he's on the bed, stripping off his shirt, preparing to go to sleep. Just a few minutes more.
This is what it is to be a predator. To be patient. You think it's being explosive, but it's actually waiting. Patiently for the right moment. The best thing would be if he would... No. Fuck that. I'm just gonna wait. Wait a little more. And then I'm gonna take him. But if he doesn't fall asleep soon, I might kill him. So, I don't believe in God, but I give a little prayer that this motherfucker is tired and will fall asleep soon. Jesus Christ.
Yes. Yes. Starting to moan and snore. Yes, he must have fallen asleep. Yes. Almost as soon as his back hit the rack. Yeah, there he is. Under his flimsy, light blue cover. Big chest moving up and down. And in that chest, you know what's there. That big ruby pumping, pumping, pumping.
I still need to keep myself in check. I don't dare to go for the throat, because then I will lose it. I need to kind of keep this control that I have gained, and I want to go for the wrist and just sneak up to him, sink my teeth in him, and just take that fuck. It's so close now. It is so close. Jesus Christ. Okay, the wrist.
Yes, right there. You can see it. Yes. The neck. So much more there. But yeah, subtlety, subtlety. You manage to tease the hand out from under the cover, and it's lying there like a big, juicy, fat hamburger full of veins. A dexterity plus composure, please, to feed without waking him up. It's not particularly hard. He's sleeping heavily. And
I'm gonna use some willpower. 4.
Yeah, by sheer force of will, you steer your hands. He almost jars awake, but you have it under control. And there you are. The wrist lifted up so close to your face. The two veins that are visible. All blue. No marks on the arm, no tattoos. Just coarse black hair.
Yeah. I take one more breath. Just force myself to keep the control 1 second longer, and then I bite the fuck down into that wrist.
He just seems to sink deeper into sleep as you sink deep into him. It's tempting to tear. It's tempting to rip.
Yeah.
to make it flow faster. That little trickle. Slow. Slow. It's sharp, tangy. Almost lemony, more delicate than you would have expected from him. There's an undertone of anger and sadness, power and rage in that blood, but it's subtle, deep within. You see for a moment a hand on an envelope, shoving it into a postbox. You see, for a minute, a white Ziploc bag filled with a lumpy, jello-y white powder changing hands. You see, for a quick moment, the butt of a gun shoved into trainers. You see, just for a second, somebody dying at your feet. Flashes, moments. Ingrained scars that have been locked in the blood.
Yeah, and in this moment, it's both lust and compassion. It's like a communion almost. I will take thy sins upon me. I will take your power, your flavor, your essence into me, and I will make use of it. I will make it mine. And it's sacred. This is not evil. This is nature. This is it's a sacrament. I cherish it. I cherish every drop of him.
Every drop?
No. Okay, stop. I need to stop.
Stop. You need to stop. You need to stop now.
I need to stop. Not every drop. I'm not going to kill him. Fuck.
You tear away your composure and quick reflexes. Saved him.
Oh, shit.
You've drunk deep. Surely, at least 3 hungers worth. Deep, deep. He's a bit pale, and he's shaking a little bit, sweating. If your experience has taught you anything, you should probably not drink from this man again for a while. But he will sleep, and he will rest, and he will forget. Maybe he will even forget those things that you have taken into you now. The memories that you can recall just by pumping the blood another turn through your... through your changed brain, through your changed muscles. And then they will live again. As rage and power, it's a strong, choleric, fatty blood. And you're almost dizzy from it as you get to your feet.
To stay here, and I need to stay hidden, so I can't fall asleep. That's great, because it's night time.
Oh, falling asleep is not gonna be a thing on this blood. That much is for sure. It's way too hot.
I'm gonna try to. I mean, he's sleeping, and we are alone in here, so I don't have to stay hidden right now because there's no cameras. So I could kind of relax in the dark. I'm gonna watch him, so A, he won't die, 2, he won't wake up on me and actually realize I'm there, but then I need to, did I get something from this blood? Is there something, what can I do with it? And I also, I'm still curious about this guy, like, he's...
Yeah, as you... pace back and forth, it's hard to keep still. Yeah, the resonance is choleric, and that choleric blood you could easily channel into some of the strength, the potency of of him. Those memories of business, of manipulation, of callousness, of the grind. They could turn useful.
Can I figure out his name at least?
It's there. Somebody.
Oh, Jordi.
Somebody shouting for you, but it's not your name, it's his name. Must be a memory. Jordi. Could that be him? Maybe. It's really hard to keep still. It's fucking hard to sit still. The idea of just waiting out here the night seems ridiculous for something such as you.
Yeah. Could I? I mean, what kind of lock is there?
This is a prison door. They are made by the same manufacturers that create some of Great Britain's classic lockboxes. It's a thick door made of plate steel in four layers. The hinges are on the outside, of course, but even they are made in almost unbreakable steel. The lock itself is a... large, clunky one with two big shafts of metal that slam into the door frame on the other side, at least half a decimeter in. It's a prison lock. It's nothing anyone could rip open or tear through. Not anyone normal, that is.
I'm not thinking that I could, but I'm itching. I just wanna, you know, I go to the door. I just wanna touch it. I just wanna, oh God, maybe I could, like, I feel so strong. Maybe I could just push it out and then get out. And it would be a mystery, right? It's so good to not be this hungry, and it's good to feel in control and powerful. And maybe I could just, maybe I'm just gonna go to the door. I'm not gonna do anything. I'm just gonna touch it.
Just gonna feel it a little bit.
Yes.
Yeah, you almost feel like it moves a little bit when you push it.
It's like.
It shouldn't move, but it gives a little bit.
It's like loving the door. Maybe if I shove it a bit harder. This is bad. I should... Jesus.
The shove shakes the frame. There's a voice from one of the cells nearby.
Hey, turn it down a notch, will you? Hey! Shut up! Turn it down!
Must be two cells down.
Could I break it up without, like, waking the whole prison up, obviously?
No. I think that is the easiest way to say it. It would be immensely difficult to keep control of the door in such a way that it didn't wake the whole place up. There is a small window, though. It's high. It's big enough to crawl out through. It has bars. But holy shit, what are you thinking?
Oh no. And does it go outside?
It goes to one of the inner yards.
I could actually. Okay. I'm not. I don't say. I will do anything. I'm just gonna get a feel for it, you know. This is great.
Yeah, this is gonna be a long night.
Yeah, I know. But I'm just gonna, you know. What if? I mean, fuck. What if? I go to the bars.
Yeah, you stand on the. There's a little. There's a little dresser, a little side table, square piece of furniture, ugly, plasticky white. If you stand on that, you can reach just to the bars. It's a weird angle, not really one where you can get a lot of traction, but the bars are cold and they make you think again. There's a yard outside, walls around it, at least 15 feet high, surrounding the whole place, barbed wire on top. There's no way really out of there. You can see the rooftops outside of the walls. Hear faintly from somewhere some stupid disco tune, ABBA, you think. But, this is what it's gonna be for Paul and Francis every day. Years and years and years locked up without being able to exert their power. Completely helpless.
Stick to the plan, Alice. This was not the plan. Just calm the fuck down. Yes. Yes, this is good. Shh. I'm gonna go down and sit in the corner. I'm gonna sit in the corner. I go to the fucking corner and I sit the fuck down, and you are the dancing queen. Young, shh, and sweet, only 17. Shh. Just sit down. Sit down. Sit down. Sit down. Fuck.
In the medical unit, you're finishing up, Francis. Almost done there. And the screw with the grey moustache is impatiently waiting at the door.
I look over the man with the broken leg one last time. I've set his leg in a cast. Of course, the bandages they have weren't really up to snuff, but I didn't bother mentioning it because I don't really care. His leg will set. Probably badly, but that's not my fault. I haven't got the correct equipment.
No, be it as it may, this man is going to live, and he's probably not going to have an entirely straight leg, but he'll live.
Unfortunate, but despite not liking the man, I'm still not ready to flat out murder patients just yet. Especially when being watched by law enforcement. As I am getting ready to leave, I go to wash my hands at the sink, and I do my very best to just quickly assess this place. I glance over at that cabinet, the one with the blood bags for Bartholomew. Did they all say that, the special bags, or did they have different names?
No, they have different names. You, as the water runs cold over your hands, you struggle to recall. An intelligence plus medicine, and you will record more of the labels.
Four successes.
Different names. Different prisoner names. Those bags, yes. One of them, one of them was Donnie's blood. But the other,
Donnie.
The approved bags. Why? Why was the name part of every label, including the one that you set up Paul with? Why did they not have a name? None of them have names.
So...
Right, this way. Yeah, time to go. Time to go.
I nod and remark, I'm sorry I'm not being quick enough for you, making sure that your medical facility is hygienic, clean, and that an infection doesn't kill both patients. I'll try and be extra quick next time with the bacteria.
A jolly good, then. Smiles. Come on.
I blink, realizing that he thought that was some sort of joke. It wasn't, but oh well. And I begin leaving. So I recollect to myself. The ones I was not supposed to touch, the ones that didn't have plasma, were the ones with no names, unmarked.
No. Yeah, the ones that you took were the ones with no names. The approved ones had no names, but all of the failed ones had prisoners' names on it. You pass by Paul's bed. And just as the screw takes your shoulder and pushes you out into the hallway, you can see that several of the smaller wounds have already closed on Paul's body.
I try not to react, and then of course am shoved out.
Out into the hallway, half of the blood bag gone. Into him, wounds healed. Oh God.
You have listened to an episode of Red Moon Roleplaying, where we play the third season of the chronicle No Man is an Island for Vampire the Masquerade 5th edition. Our storyteller was Martin Erickson. We were also joined by Anna-Karin Linder. The music was created by Lola Zasa, and the sound effects are from the fine folks at freesound.org, zapsplat.com, and Sirenscape. We'd like to give massive thanks to our champions of the Red Moon, Martin Hoy-Schaubert, Nastasha Rollerson, Simon Cooper, David, Julia, Camilla, Ludwig Manford, Bob Delange, Julian, Cameron, Ryan F., and Xavier for their generous support. And we'd of course also like to thank all of our other patrons. Without your support, the show would not be possible. If you want to support our work, please check us out on Patreon. You can get access to bonus campaigns for Cult of Indie Lost and Coriolis there, as well as get early and raw access to all of our recordings. You can also hear your name read on the show as a champion of the Red Moon, as well as play Cult with us. Most importantly, that support is what keeps the show going, so do check us out there. And remember, death is not the end.